world to see Jesus in us. We're the only Bible that many of the world will ever see.
Amen.
Walking Bibles. Paul said we're walking epistles, ambassadors. We're going to continue with parables. This is parable number 11, maybe 12, but it's parable number 11. And it's found today in Luke chapter 18. Another familiar parable. Probably not as familiar as last week. We talked about the Good Samaritan, but a very familiar one nevertheless. Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at 1 through 8. Been jumping around. We covered 9 through 17, but we're going to look at 1 through 8 today. And we're going to talk about this, the parable of the widow. And let's all stand. Luke chapter 18. Help my prayer all day. Preach on prayer today. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want Jesus to find faith on the earth when he comes. And we know that he's coming. Father God, we ask that you would just bless us this morning. Give us faith. And give us the ability to put our faith in prayer, that we will be able to pray the words of faith. Father God, we ask right now that you would just bless this church. Bless some lost soul. Bless a sick soul. Bless a black, backslidden soul. Bless someone who is out of fellowship with you. Bless someone, Father God, who's just looking to be empowered and strengthened by your word. We ask right now that you would just guide and direct all the pastor's thoughts. Speak through him what needs to be said. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer. Prayer is words of faith. Prayer is utterances of faith. You're going to pray what you believe. If you're praying a prayer and you don't believe it can happen, it's not a prayer. I was looking at this story here, and I put my outline together. I didn't have an introduction, but I thought of this as I sat there. One of the stories that I used to really, really enjoy as a child was the Edgar Allan Poe story of the Telltale Heart. And it was a story of a man who had either a neighbor or a roommate that really was annoying to him. And it got so bad that he killed the man and cut his body all up and pulled up the planks of the floor in the house, and he buried his friend under the floor. And
cleaned everything up, and he thought everything was just wonderful. He didn't have that friend to worry about no more. He tried to go to sleep. Until he tried to move around the house in the quietness of the house, the lack of noise that his friend made had brought about a quietness around the house. And in that quietness, he could hear what he thought was a constant thumping. And it drove him insane, because the constant thumping of the heart of the man, which he thought it was, and that's why Edgar called it the sort of telltale heart. It's just a constant tapping. A constant tapping. God gives this story about this woman, this widow, and she was constant. She was constant. There was a story, I'm going to give you another story just quickly, of a man who was trying to witness to another man about the goodness of God. And he asked the man, Jesus. And the man said, I don't know no Jesus. I don't believe in God. I don't know why you believe in God. And he asked the man, why do you believe in God? I was saying this to Mary this morning. You might get asked that question. Why do you believe in God? And the man said, well, I knocked on his door and he opened it. The man said, that don't make any sense. And he said, go home and try it. Just knock on God's door. And he's talking about through prayer. Just knock on God's door. And the man said, he came back and met him and said, I knocked on his door. And he didn't answer. I didn't hear nothing. And the man said, maybe you didn't knock hard enough. See, sometimes we have to knock hard. And I don't think we're knocking hard enough. I don't think we're knocking hard enough. And I don't think we are. I don't think we're persistent enough. I don't think we're knocking hard enough. And I don't think we're faithful enough. This story is going to shed light on that. Jesus spoke this parable in chapter 18, verse 1. He said he spoke this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. And when I open up this subject, the scripture just full of prayer. Just full of prayer. I don't think there's another subject in the Bible that surpasses prayer. And it says, men ought to always pray. It didn't say good men. And we ought to thank God that it didn't say good men ought to always pray. Because good men ought to pray. And bad men ought to pray. Holy men ought to pray, and unholy men ought to pray. Males ought to pray, and females ought to pray. Adults ought to pray, and children ought to pray. And that word ought means you must pray. Okay? I mean, this is something that we should do. Not something that we might do, but it's something that we should do. Prayer should be a big part of the life of the saint.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we ought to pray. That's what Jesus said. He said, men ought to always pray. Now some folks say, well, I don't know much about praying, and sometimes I get on my knees and I'll get confused, but we ought to always pray. We ought to start with ourselves. And if you turn to Luke 23, and you don't have to, but Luke 23 talks about a man who was on the cross. We ought to pray for ourselves before we start praying for other folks. We ought to make sure that we are in the Spirit, that we are qualified to pray for somebody else. Luke 23:39, it says, and one of the malefactors which hung railed on Jesus, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. That's what to pray for. A lot of us are in the mess we're in because we're getting what we sold.
That's right. Amen. That's exactly right.
Now, I know that's not popular in the church anymore. It's all about relationship, our felt needs, and, you know, oh, you suffering. And, you know, we want messages to really bail us out of the mess we started. But a lot of our folks is in trouble because we planted seeds of trouble.
Amen.
Amen.
Say it again, preacher.
Amen.
Say it again, preacher.
This man knew something about it. He said, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." But watch his prayer. He prayed for himself. He already rebuked his friend. His friend didn't want to hear it. He said, "Listen, I'm coming to you on my behalf." And he said unto Jesus. Now I'm going to start using these deacons to pray. I don't want y'all to come up here and pray for half an hour every time God calls you to pray. You ain't got to come up here. We open the doors of the church in the morning. You don't have to pray for 15, 20 minutes. That's not mandatory. It may be. I'm not against long prayers, but some of the best ones in the Bible are short. Nehemiah had an opportunity to stand before the king and to ask the king for all the supplies he needed to build the wall. And the king called him in, and Nehemiah prayed a short prayer to God. Everybody don't have to know you praying neither. Look what he says in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, here's a short prayer. Lord, you ought to circle that if you have a King James Bible. Because he ain't no use going to him if he's not Lord. He says, remember me. This is a short prayer. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's it. That's the whole prayer. That's the whole prayer. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, by saying that, he was saying an awful lot. He was acknowledging that he was not only Lord, but he had a kingdom. And that kingdom that he had was worth him being there. Oh, we all want to be in the kingdom. Listen. Not only we should pray for ourselves, but we ought to pray for one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul said, we give thanks to God always for all you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Just look around in here. If I was to say, anybody in here that don't need prayer, raise your hand. I don't believe any hands would go up. So all you got to do is take a note. Who was in church today? And listen, they need prayer. They need prayer. Paul needed prayer. In Ephesians, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, and this one is worth turning to because it involves your pastor. Listen. Your pastor need prayer. Okay? We got pastors falling all over the city. And the folks that ain't praying for them.
Come on now.
It's almost like we hoping that they fall. So we can get some of their members. Listen, the church ain't growing when you jumping from church to church to church. We think the church growing because we got, well, you know, so-and-so fell and all his members came over here. Or that's not church growth. That's what they call the transfer church. We just transferring memberships. We need to pray for our pastors. Especially this one in front of you. Look at Ephesians 6, 19, 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication.
In the spirit,
and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. See, the saint wants to come and shut the mouth of the preacher. You can shut the mouth of the preacher, because if the church ain't praying for the preacher, he's open season for the enemy. Now, when the preacher get an addiction, whether it's alcohol, women, or money, I'm in trouble. See, you give the preacher too much money, he can't preach. And if the preacher got an addiction, he can't preach. If he got a girlfriend, he can't preach. You got to be careful. You got to pray. If the preacher is ordaining folks that ought not be ordained, he can't preach. If the preacher got a homosexual playing on the organ, he can't preach. If the preacher got a minister in the pulpit that he knows cheating on his wife, he can't preach. And if the preacher's stealing all the money, he can't preach. Preachers need prayer. That's what Paul said. Do we have anything to pray for today? Listen. If you're out and about and you see a man with a bald head, just to give you, that's all to just remind you. Oh, that, think about me. I need prayer. Okay? So use that as a cue. Whenever you see a bald-headed guy, start praying for your preacher. Because some of y'all know I work at a penitentiary. I need prayer. Around 7:30, 8 o'clock, they serving breakfast. That's a dangerous time at a prison. Pray for your pastor, because usually I'm in the child hall. Uh-huh. At 12 o'clock until 1:30, pray for your pastor, because usually I'm in the child hall.
Amen.
And that's where stuff happens. Just keep me in prayer. I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Paul says, pray for the preachers.
Amen.
Look at verse 20. For which I am an ambassador. That's what we are. Yeah. In bonds. That here therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Preachers, there's a way a preacher ought to preach. And it's the word of God. And folks don't want to hear it. And it takes boldness to preach the word of God to a world that don't want to hear it. Not only pray for the pastors. Look at James chapter 5. He said pray for sick folk. Sick believers. He starts off with sick believers in James chapter 5, verse 14. And I'm going to be quick. It says, is there any sick among you? There's a question behind that. Yes, it is. There's some sick folk in here. You know how I know there's some sick folk in here? Because we get older. And as you get older, you get sick. And one day you're going to get old and sick and die. That's just the way it is. And I don't care how many times Benny Hinn heal you. I don't care how many times somebody lay hands on you, or how many times you get released from the hospital. One day, the funeral home is coming to get you from the hospital. Oh, I know. Folks don't like talking about death, but it is what it is. We leave in here, and we need to be ready to go. See, the leaving part isn't the problem. Being ready to go. That's the solution. We need to be ready to go. Are you ready to go? Because the word of God says it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You can't be judged if you're dead. God gonna wake you up to judge you. You're gonna get woke up. You ain't gonna sleep through this judgment. You're gonna get woke up. Wake up, it's judgment time. I thought I was dead. Yeah, you was, and you still are. But we got some more business to take care of. Listen. Oh, listen. We got to pray for the sick. Look what he says. Is any among you afflicted? Oh, yes, some folk in here been afflicted.
Yes,
afflicted ain't sickness. Afflicted means because of your deeds, because of your sins, you're being troubled right now. Okay? Because of some of the choices you have made, some of the relationships you have gotten into, those relationships can come back and afflict you. Is there any here among you that has been afflicted? Amen. Let him pray. See, prayer does run through the Bible. You've been afflicted, let him pray. Is any Mary? Let him sing songs.
Come on, huh?
Oh, you got something buried. You got to be singing. God's been good.
Amen.
You better sing God's goodness back to him.
Yes,
look at verse 14, though. Is any sick among you? Here's good. This is good stuff. Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? It's a shame. There's a whole lot of folks sick that don't have no elders.
Amen.
Don't have no pastors. I watch some of these folks. They dying. They families, their houses burnt down. All the kids burnt down in the house. And they don't even have a church. They don't even have a pastor. They don't have a deacon. They don't have a head of the deacon board. They don't have a kitchen committee. They got to go out and do all this stuff. This is a message you talk to your lost friends.
I mean,
when something happened to you, you don't even have a church home.
Come on,
you don't have nobody that you can call and say, come over and comfort me. You got to call a stranger. You got to call a pastor. You don't even know your name. Mess it up at your funeral. I've seen it. Pastors don't even know the folk they buried them. Putting them in heaven. Don't even know them.
Amen.
Everybody ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
I don't care what the preacher you don't know say. You know.
Amen.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now watch this now. Because this oil don't do nothing.
Come on now.
Okay?
Come on now.
You can put a whole bottle of baby oil on some of these folks. Watch this. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that's based on if that person is sick because of sin.
Amen.
Are you sick because of sin? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord, not the oil, not the man. Come on, y'all. Pay attention. This is why we go down in the scripture. It's not the oil, it's not the man that saves.
Amen.
We put all our faith in man. And if man fall, we fall. It says, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him by the Lord. You don't have to go in a little room with a little guy on the other side who you don't know what he may be doing over there while you telling him all your business. Alright, keep you straight, Deacon. We want to pray for folks, people. We want to pray for pastors, one another, ourselves, sick believers. I know Reverend Jones ain't here, but he's here in spirit. Because Reverend Jones know this one. We ought to pray for rulers.
Amen.
We ought to pray for the president. We ought to pray for the Congress. We ought to pray for the Senate. We ought to pray for the mayor and the governor. We ought to pray for all those that are in authority.
Amen.
We ought to. That's what the Word of God says. If you're looking for that, that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Then we ought to pray for this one here. This one here is troubling to some of y'all, but I'm going to give it to you. Because God told me to give it to you. This is a hard one. Matthew 5. You need to mark this one down. I know some of y'all don't like writing in your Bible, but this is a good one here. Look at Matthew 5, verse 44, 43 and 44. Very familiar. It says, and you have heard that it had been said. Now, if you got King James like me, this is in red, so this is Christ talking. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. And it's good to love thy neighbor. If you got a good neighbor, cut their grass, they don't have toys all over the yard, you know, they don't barbecue on the front porch, you know.
Amen.
It's easy to love that kind of neighbor.
Yes, sir. Yeah, love them all.
But stop, Sylvia. But I say unto you, verse 44, but I say unto you, the Lord speaking here, love your enemies. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Roy, you ever had to bless somebody that cuss you out? That's what the Word of God says. Bless, and I don't mean say it in a cursory type way. You know, well, bless you too. That's not what I'm talking about.
No.
I've heard folks say, well, God bless you. Because the cashier was kind of snippy with them. Well, God bless you. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. This ain't playful. He said, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. How about that? How do you even do that, Pastor? How do you do good to them that hate you? You can't do good to anybody. You can't do good to those that treat you nice. Some of you have been treated the worst by folks that say they love you.
Amen.
He said, do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. How about that? You have been despitefully used and persecute you. I don't know, Jesus, that's some hard stuff. It is. When you try to do it in the flesh. It is. Let me give you one last thing to pray for. And this is serious. This is serious business. We need to pray for Israel.
Yes.
Folks don't understand that. You watch America's relationship with Israel. If it gets better, that's a good thing. If it gets worse, that's a bad thing. Because America has always been the friend of Israel. And a lot of folks will say that a lot of America's blessings has been tied to the fact that they have a relationship with Israel. And when Israel falls, America will fall. Look at Psalms 122 and 6. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love them. How about that? How about that? Watch America's role in Israel. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for Israel. Let's get back to this wicked judge. This is a fascinating story, and I want to exhaust it in a loving way. Look at the godly widow versus the wicked judge. And I put it like that purposely. The godly widow versus the wicked judge. It's almost like WWA or two fighters getting ready to go to battle. That's what's getting ready to happen here. The godly widow is going up against the wicked judge. Okay? Now, anytime you see widow in the Bible, it represents weakness. Defenseless. I mean, these people were a widow that lost her husband and lost and had no sons or no children to take care of them. That's a widow. Okay? And this person was in trouble. This person had no power, and unless they had friends in high places, they had nothing coming. And I'm talking about a godly widow here. Okay? Now, we can go to 1 Timothy 5:5. We don't have to discuss that, but we know what a godly widow is. In this case, this widow was godly, and she was coming up against this wicked judge. And then we know that judges, we studied this morning, judges in the Middle East and the East back in those days were wicked. They were godless. They cared nothing. And this is how God is going to describe this judge. He says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. I mean, no, he's off to a bad start. He's off to a bad start. Okay? What's Proverbs 1 and 7 say? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, I'm going to turn there because I want to talk to my young people today. Listen what it says. The fear of the Lord, all caps,
amen.
Yahweh, the all-knowing, all omniscient, omnipresent God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay? Look around. How you handling instruction, young people? How you handling wisdom? Are you seeking after it? Or you think, oh, this is crazy? You think the word of God is foolishness? Young folks, it's getting in trouble. It's easier to get in trouble today than it was years ago. We talked about that this morning. There was a time when a preacher could walk down the jail and get you out. Because he had clout in the community. Now the preacher don't want to go to jail because he on paper. This is a wicked judge. Look what it says about it. He's going to describe it. He said, there was in the city a judge which feared not God.
That's right.
Neither regarded man. What's it mean to fear not God? God, what does it look like? I mean, these things we have to know. What does it look like to fear not God? Turn to Romans. Romans 3. I don't want to talk about what it looks like. Folks don't know. I mean, I can recognize immediately what it looks like when a man does not fear God or a woman. Romans 3. Look what it says. 3:13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, come on now.
Amen.
Do you fear God? You just ain't gonna walk around saying anything. Your mouth ain't gonna be a open grave. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This person may be murderous. Don't mind fighting a confrontational type person.
Yes, sir.
Destruction and misery are in their way. And you meet this person, they're heading for trouble. They're in trouble.
Come on.
They're miserable.
Miserable.
You can't be saved and be miserable.
Come on.
Saved and miserable. In the way of peace have they not known. Peace ain't even part of their agenda. They don't know nothing about peace and fellowship and communion of the saints. They don't know nothing about that.
Amen.
They don't want to have nothing to do with biblical fellowship and hanging around folks that's saved and happy and glad God delivered them from a fiery hell. They don't want to have nothing to do with that. The way of peace. They don't even know. Everybody they hanging around with is murderous and cussing and swearing.
Amen.
Somebody cussing and swearing, you know something right away.
That's right.
They don't fear God because the word of God says you will be judged by every idle word. You don't fear God. If you cussing and swearing, talking about people and calling folks ugly and black and fat and whatever, that shows me you don't fear God at all. Because the word of God says you're going to be judged by every word come out of your mouth. Look at verse 18 as we finish this scripture. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And this was the judge we're talking about here in Luke chapter 18. There was no fear of God. Isn't that something? Can you imagine standing in front of a judge who feared not God? You have nothing coming. And this woman had nothing coming. She came before him. And it said there was a widow, a weak widow, who had no man to represent her, no son to represent her in that city. She came before the judge saying, avenge me of my adversary. And that word avenge me, all she wanted is justice. She don't want favor. She want a verdict. That's all she wanted. She said, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not. And there's no comedy. I just stopped it there for myself. And he would not. Because this was a hard-hearted, evil man. And a woman coming in there with power, with no power, totally defenseless. It says, and he would not. But look at this. For a while. Now we start talking about this woman's persistence. This woman was serious about this. Yeah, I remember a case a couple, not probably many years ago now, where a young boy got killed in Cleveland. He got killed in Cleveland. And the boy, the judges in Cleveland wanted to dismiss the case because the boy was from Cleveland. They didn't care. You know what that boy's mother did? She got a hotel in Cleveland, not too far from the courthouse. And she was there every day. And so they put that boy that killed her son in jail. And that's what happened. That's a true story. That's a true story. This is what this woman did. She parked herself right there in this man's courthouse. And she didn't have to be there physically, because when you're a woman of God and you know the power of prayer, your prayers will show up.
Come on now.
Those prayers will show up. When you can't be there, your prayers will show up. Okay? And he would not listen to her or give her a verdict for a while. But
afterwards,
he said within himself,
Come on.
Though I fear not God, I'm a vile, wretched, evil man. No. That's being too nice. Proverbs 14:1. I don't want to be nice to this guy because God isn't being nice. Some of y'all been listening to so much TV ministry that y'all believe God is just so nice. God is not so nice. God say some stuff. And the God I serve. Look at Psalm 14:1. It says the fool. Oh, I'm sorry. Psalm 14. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. And they're like this judge. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There ain't a fool in the world that's doing good if that fool don't believe in God.
Amen.
Oh, I was a fool. There was a time that I wouldn't have said it, but I lived like it. I wouldn't have said I don't believe in God. You couldn't have paid me to say it, but by my behavior, you know, I couldn't have stood up here and sing like Sylvia. I want the world to see Jesus in me, because they wasn't seeing Jesus in me.
Amen.
Amen.
And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, for I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet because this widow, oh, troubleth me. You know, words like that really stick to me. Mm-hmm. Troubleth me. And I wrote this out like a godly widow in a ring. This godly widow's in a ring with this judge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And as a fighter, last thing you want is a fighter all up on you. You can't get nothing off. Because he all up on you. And pressing you and pressing you. And this is what's happening here. This woman is in the ring with this judge. And she's just all over him. Troubling him. Look what it says. Because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now that word weary, that's a true boxing term. Okay? Pay attention. Paul used this. Paul used this same word.
Yes, he does.
In 1 Corinthians 9:27. I know I'm turning to our scripture today, but I'm going to turn to this one. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Look at Paul. Paul was a man of God.
Uh-huh.
God used Paul magnificently in many ways. Paul saved souls and he had his great missionary journey, and folks looked up to Paul, and Paul knew that if he failed, hundreds and thousands of people would fail, and God would be discredited, and God would be mocked and laughed at. So what did Paul do? He used the same word here. He said, but I keep under my body, that's the word I'm talking about, and bring it into subjection. That word under my body means a weary. It means Paul took blows, physically blows, and beat himself into submission. Paul wrestled with this thing. He said, I'm going to fight myself that I, listen, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A castaway. That word castaway means abominable. That I may be abominable. After I preach the gospel, I myself should be a castaway. I didn't preach folks into heaven, and I myself in hell. Paul kept his body under subjection. And that's what the word weary means in this text here. When we look at this text here, it says, yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And that word weary means to beat a person down with body shots and uppercuts and jabs, and she might have headbutted him, hit him below the belt. I mean, she brought everything. She brought everything, and she was wearying him. She was wearing him out with prayer and supplication and petitions unto the Lord. Are you knocking hard enough? Are you knocking hard enough for your loved ones, for your children, for your church, for your wayward members, for those that are backslidden, for those that are in cults and false religions? Are you knocking hard enough? Are you beating down God's door, or are you just standing by watching your loved ones die and go to hell? And I don't care what the preacher say. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We need to knock these doors down. Father's a living witness. Coming to the Lord is 79, 80 years old. It's not possible. Impossible. But we got to beat the doors down. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we're raising children for the devil. We're raising children for the devil. They just grow up, and next time you see them, they all covered up with tattoos and earrings in their nose and in their lips. Look like they just jumped in a tackle box.
Come on now. Come on now.
Raising children for the devil. Oh, Dad, thank God. You done raised me up. Now Satan using me. I'm talking about, well, I know what I'm talking about. Now listen. This judge, this evil judge, is going to give us a lesson on how to reach God. Isn't it something when the evil world can teach the church something? Look at verse 6. And it says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge say. But he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Yes, he will.
Come on.
Yes, God will avenge his own elect. How could you not even think? When we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. He died for us while we were yet sinners. How dare you believe that he will not answer your prayer now? And shall not God avenge his own elect? Here's how you need to do, because this is what the judge was saying was happening. He said this woman was crying day and night unto him, and though he bear long with them.
Come on now, crying. Come on now.
Oh, if a judge, if you go to a judge with all your petitions and you can break him down, what hope do we have in Christ?
Come on.
Who hears the petitions of his people?
Come on now. Yes, he will.
Look what he said. I will tell you. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them. How? Speedily.
Speedily.
Maybe not your own time. Because God's time ain't our time. But he will do it speedily. Nevertheless, now this is how we close. And this is a fascinating scripture. This is a serious verse here, scripture. He said, Nevertheless. When the Son of Man cometh, and he's coming. He didn't say if. He said, when? And let me tell you something. He's not coming wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not coming in a manger. Okay? He's not coming riding an ass. Oh no, he's not coming like that. He's coming with all power in his hands. And he's coming to judge. That's how he's coming. He's coming for his own. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? How about that? What's he going to find? What's he going to find when he comes? I was at a church in Columbus, a refugee row, one of the big churches. Within 10 minutes after the service was over, they had rolled up all the chairs, put them all up on the wall. They was planning on having a basketball game. They could turn their church into a basketball court in 15 minutes. This was a 2,000 plus member church. They could turn their church into a basketball court or a convention center or a multi-purpose room. I talk about this a lot. Bookstores, coffee shops, gift shops, restaurants. These churches got it all. Recreation centers, hair salons, spas. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's all there. Mick and David talked about last week. It won't be long. You go to churches and you're going to see Pepsi-Cola sponsors, GM, Ford. You go to a Browns game, you go to a Pittsburgh Steelers game, and you look at the stadium and all the sponsors is around the stadium. Yes. And that's what's happening to the church, because some of these pastors are so in need of money. If Chevy came to them and said, look, if we can put our Chevy emblem in your church, we'll give you $2,000 a year or a month. That's happening. It's going to happen. Listen. Mark 11 says the whole world should know, okay, that the church of God should be called a house of prayer. Okay? It should be called a house of prayer. Okay? But Jesus came in and cleaned up and said, you turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. And you know what that word den means in the Greek? It means you turned it into a resort. It's a place of entertainment center. And the preachers are no more than preachertainers. Entertainers. We look for folks that can entertain. If you can't draw a crowd, we don't need you. Paul would not even qualify. We got 5 churches open in Youngstown looking for pastors. If the Apostle Paul came and put in his resume, he would not even be considered. He wouldn't even be considered. Somebody, I don't want to hear that. Can you sing? Well, I sang once. I was in prison locked up for rebuking a demon out of a woman, and they locked me up. I sang then. No, we ain't talking about that. Can you sing some Israel Houghton or some Marvin Sapp? We looking for that type of preach singer. Nah. I only got a few songs. Amen. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Will we be ready? Will there be faith on earth when God returns in the person of Jesus Christ? What will you find Christian Bible Baptist Church doing? Oh, will we be miming and flag waving and all types of foolishness, or will we be preaching your word? Come what may. Or will we just have the pulpit full of dancing women and women preachers and all that? Or will we be faithful to the scriptures? Or out of desperation, will we say we're going to take whatever God sends us? I don't care if it's a transvestite, if they can play music, we're going to hire them because we need music. If Medea comes and gets on the organ, it don't matter. Or are we going to stay faithful to the scriptures? Are we going to preach God's word in season and out of season when it hurts? When it brings pain and judgment and rebuke or are we going to compromise and sell out so we can draw crowds?